When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So I say that in connection to this idea that the villagers in San Antonio, the Pinto Yaku, are wondering if they are also dealing with some sort of high-tech human trafficking operation, which I thought was very interesting because I've sort of been wondering if that's what we're dealing with. And when they brought this up to me, I thought, oh boy, I really hope for their sakes that that's not what's happening. Now, I said that they were divided in their minds. So that's the 50% of what they think it is. The other 50%, they think it's inhuman. It's unhuman. It's a alien incursion is what they were saying originally. And they hold to that possibility.
The history of our Earth is so different from what we can imagine.
Enjoy the journey.
The Smithsonian, that if they found out about a large skeleton somewhere, was to go get it.
I'm going to assume at least one person is right, because if one person's right, it busts the paradigm.
It all goes back to the fallen cherub. And the problem with the modern-day church, they have a very truncated view of the supernatural.
This backdrop is just pregnant with all kinds of meaning associated with this Mount Hermon event.
And this guy defects from the kingdom. That's a big deal.
Welcome back to Blurry Creatures. This week, we're going to do a little midweek update. Tim reached out to us. We did this before. We did this with the... every once in a while, there's some alien news, and we got to bring Tim Alberino on. He's our correspondent on the streets out there in the Blurryverse. Tim Alberino, he's heading down to the jungle.
This is the Alberino update. That's like, I think we should even call it that. This is great. Tim, it's good to see you. We were just joking about pre-roll. It's just fun. Like, it's fun to see you. I don't know. It's like being with the guys after spending time in a van in Peru. But, you know, to be serious for a second.
It's always fun to join the blurry band for a couple hours.
Man, I know. But there's some very big and very cool things that have been going on in your world. And I know that you're excited to kind of share some of those things. And I'm not gonna ruin it because you've got some very, very cool updates. But there's a trip on the horizon for you. And you also have been, speaking of Nate, we talked about, we had Tim on to talk about the oversight committee hearings on UAPs, UFOs, and kind of to parse and break that down. And out of those conversations, there's been some very cool things that have happened on Tim's end. And so we're going to do all things updates with Tim Alberino. But welcome back, Tim. It's great to see you.
Yeah.
And what do you got for us, pal?
Hey, early on when we bring up Ryan, we're going to get Tim to laugh. We're going to get him out of his serious mode, but I appreciate you, Tim, for giving us a lot of time and energy and taking those emails from fans that are emailing you, those ladies that are emailing you and asking if I'm single. I appreciate that one. I appreciate those too.
I got you, Nate. I'm fielding all of those emails for you.
Dude, Tim's a hype man. Nate's personal hype man here. Yeah, and also, yeah, right. also security. You're just vetting everybody out.
Nate, I got quality control over here for you.
Alberino's starting a dating app, everybody. I don't know if you know this. And apparently it's just for Nate.
If you want to date Nate, that's what the whole app is. And there's like a form you got to fill out, and it's a very rigorous process, actually.
No, I love that, Tim. I love that you don't take yourself too seriously.
The first question on the form is, what are your thoughts on Bigfoot?
Hey, see, listen. And you know what, Tim? That's a big deal.
That's a big deal. God, I wish you guys would take that off your intro.
The Blurryverse, all the things that Tim has to deal with because of the Blurryverse, he deals with a lot. He probably a lot of hate mail, a lot of good feedback too. But you get some weird emails too from us, so we apologize for those. But thanks for coming back on. Tell us what you're doing in the jungle. We want to hear all about it.
You know, probably before we jump into that, we should probably mention some news in regard to our event in Costa Rica.
Oh yeah, that's right. So we have a few extra VIP tickets if anyone wants to come to the Costa Rica event. A lot of people have been emailing us over the last couple of months. We do have some VIP tickets available, and what we're going to do is we're going to give anyone who gets a VIP ticket first crack at buying the tickets to the actual conference the rest of the weekend. So we'll give you that link. It'll be in the description of the show. You can head over and grab a VIP ticket. So if you live in Costa Rica, or you live in the area, or you just want to go down and hang out, then this is another way to get tickets, because it's a very small conference room, so we don't have a lot of extra tickets for this conference itself. So,
and if you could, Tim, if you could share with what we've put together as part of the package, there are going to be no additional VIP tickets opened up, and it is going to happen the day before the conference begins. And Tim, tell us what the VIPs are going to be able to do.
We are going to be going out on a catamaran. We're going to do a half-day catamaran trip, all-inclusive, and it's going to be fun. I'm going to have my family there, and it's just going to be a really fun time. It's a private tour, only our group. It's only the Blurry group on the catamaran, and it's a really beautiful place. We're going to be cruising the coast of the Manuel Antonio National Reserve, that area, so there's probably going to be a lot of wildlife. It's a sunset tour. And that's going to be a lot of fun. So that's going to be an opportunity for people to hang out with us and talk, and you can snorkel, you can jump off the top of the boat, whatever. Probably we'll hit a private beach on that catamaran. And then afterward, we are all going to converge on a location, and we're just going to have an evening together after the catamaran tour. We'll hang out for the evening at a local restaurant, you know, for a few hours. And these are always a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, this VIP experience is designed to help us cover the costs of the actual event. So this is a way that people can kind of partner with us and help us financially. People always ask me, you know, how can I help you financially? And I never really reply to that, but these are the mechanisms. I don't like taking money from people, but if people who want to support us, both what I do and what you guys do, and specifically this event, they can come to the VIP experience. So you can come to the VIP experience, buy your ticket for the VIP experience. And by doing that, you're helping us put this event on, and you get to hang out with us for the whole day in a very fun environment. Catamarans, for people who haven't been on catamaran tours like this, they're a lot of fun. And again, this is a way to help us cover the cost of the event. And then, as Nate said, we're opening up tickets. So if you want to come to Costa Rica, you weren't able to get a ticket for the actual event.
Yeah.
You will be able to get a ticket if you sign up for the VIP event, for the VIP experience. You'll be able to get a ticket also for the event. We have some tickets we're holding for VIP experience ticket holders. So this is a way for people to come to Costa Rica who weren't able to get tickets the first round. And this is being opened up to the general public. I'm pretty sure that most of the tickets that we sold to the actual Costa Rica event were mainly with your members, correct?
All of them.
All of them with your members, yeah.
And it has been sold out. And so what inevitably happens is life happens, Tim. And so people have had to cancel. Instead of releasing a few of those to the public, we've held on to those to couple with the VIP experience. Again, as you said, this is intimate. We're talking about, you know, a very small group of people. If you have questions for Tim, you want to talk to Tim about anything and everything, or Nate or myself, this is about an intimate experience to support the missions of Tim Alberino and also Blurry Creatures in this endeavor in Costa Rica, and then also to spend time in a small personal setting. I get to do some pretty incredible stuff, right? You're going to see, as you said, oftentimes people see whales. That's not guaranteed, but you get the chance to go out and get on a catamaran in one of the most beautiful places on earth and talk about all the blurry things that you wish to talk about to your heart's desire.
That's right.
And we're going to feed you. Yep. Food and drinks are included. Open bar at on the boat at the restaurant. This is going to be a fun time to spend with other like-minded people in your tribe. So check it out. And these are going to go fast, right? There are limited spots available. Again, this is going to cap out, and we're gonna close the door. So there's only a limited number.
That's right. Yeah. And also the you know, we're not going to all be sitting at different tables like at a restaurant afterwards. We're all going to be together. It's going to be a very social experience. What we're planning after the catamaran tour on that same day, which is part of the VIP experience. And then I would like to add one more thing. We have and we're not ready exactly precisely yet to announce exactly what it is, but we have a literary project we've been working on and together. And we are going as part of the VIP package, you will get a signed first edition of this book that's coming up. That is a collaboration between myself and Nate and Luke. So that's a bonus you'll get as a part of the VIP package.
That's right. Well, so head on over to the website. We'll have a link to the Costa Rica trip. You can get a VIP ticket. And like I said, you'll get first chance at getting tickets to the actual event the rest of the weekend. Yeah. So Tim, we're bringing you back on the podcast to do kind of a quick update. You're headed down to Peru because things seem to be getting a little wild down there, and there's a bunch of people kind of putting together sort of a trip, and you're bringing security. It sounds like you need it. There's a lot going on. So we wanted to have you on and talk about it.
Yeah. Last time I was on, we talked about the high strangeness that was unfolding in the Amazon jungle up in Peru. And at the time that we had that discussion, I did not have my passport. I sent it away to be renewed. And so obviously I wanted to go and do an investigation, but I couldn't. So my passport came back a little sooner than I had anticipated. And so I was able to arrange an expedition up into a particular area of Peru, up into this first village where the first reports were coming out of this, as I said, of this high strangeness, this bizarre incident that we talked about in the last occasion. And I was able to get in contact with one of the villagers, thanks to a Brazilian ufologist named Ronnie Vernet, who put me in contact with one of the villagers, and I was able to then organize an expedition. I am getting ready to leave on that expedition in a couple of days. A lot of the bizarre things that have been unfolding in Peru have not stopped since the last time that we talked. They're continuing to occur. Just to very quickly to recap our first conversation, at the end of July, so July, the end of July, the beginning of August, there was an incident that took place in this village called San Antonio de Pintuyacu. It's called Pintuyacu because that's the river that the village is located on, and it's about a two-day journey up the river from Iquitos. It's in a region of the jungle called the Alto Nanay. And as I discussed with you guys last time, I've spent a lot of time up in the jungle close to that region. I speak the dialect. It's called Charapa. It's Spanish, but it's a jungle dialect of Spanish. And so I was very intrigued by what was going on up there because of my experience in that part of Peru. And what happened was the whole incident began, and I won't go through the long description. We covered that in the last episode, but in short, what happened was that this young girl, this teenage girl, was sitting on the outskirts of her village. She was sitting down eating some fruit when all of a sudden she was assaulted by two beings. These beings were dressed in strange bodysuits. They had masks on, and apparently they attempted to abduct her physically. And she tells this whole story, which is a little bit convoluted, which part of what I want to do when I go to this village is to sit down with her and interview this young lady, assuming she's there right now, and try and sort of weed through some of these details that don't make any sense to me. But long story short, she ended up screaming and she lost consciousness. Her brother found her in this state of unconsciousness. He heard her scream, and she had a laceration on her neck. And when she came to, she told this bizarre story. Well, subsequent to that event, during the following weeks, this village was being, and I don't want to use the word assaulted, and I don't really know how to explain it, that there was some sort of an intrusion happening in which strange beings were observing the villagers from the outskirts of the village in the jungle around the village. And I say observing because they weren't really making any kind of direct incursions into the village. Rather, they were sort of hovering around the village. And hovering is the right word, because apparently these guys, whatever they are floating through the jungle and are able to send up into the air. And the villagers would fire point blank at these beings and basically nothing would happen. So they were impervious to the gunfire. And so it erupted in the news. I mean, it was all over social media. It's one of the hottest stories I've ever seen in terms of the how viral it went, how quickly it went viral on social media. And I happened to jump on with a buddy of mine named Doug Thornton, who's actually accompanying me on this expedition. I jumped on a Zoom call, and Doug and I just decided, hey, let's record a video. We were talking on the phone about the incident when it was happening. I called him to see if he had been aware of this. And so we decided just to record our conversation on a Zoom call. And so Doug and I did this video, and this video that I did, it got a million views, or almost a million views. It would be well over a million, probably 1.5 million views right now, maybe even 2 million, had YouTube not age restricted the video. But it got basically 1 million views in just a few days. And everybody was asking me to go investigate this on social media, and I was getting emails about it. And when I had my passport, I decided to go do it. I tagged Doug to go with me. Doug Thornton he's a Marine. He's an ex-DHS operator. And so Doug, he also has a very low-key, inconspicuous video recording kit. So I asked Doug to accompany me on my expedition, and he agreed. And so we are going to go to the village of San Antonio de Pintuyacu. We are going to interview the individuals in the village. I know there have been there have been some investigations conducted. I wouldn't even call them investigations. Let's just call them interviews by some members of the Peruvian press, but nobody has actually gone and done a ufological investigation. Let's put it in those terms. So I decided to go and do it. As I said, I've made contact with the villagers. One of them is actually, as we speak, texting me on WhatsApp from the village. Apparently they have electricity in this village, which is very unusual. Again, as I said, I've been in contact with these guys for the last few weeks, the last month really. And all the arrangements are made. I am going in with, aside from Doug, I'm going in with two active duty Navy jungle commandos, fully loaded with automatic rifles. And I've chartered a river boat, and I'm going to be supplying the village as well. We're going to be bringing them some food and some medicine, which they badly need right now, because the villagers, what happened was, they're so spooked at this point that they've ceased to go into the jungle and harvest their food and do the normal things that they do out there. They're so concerned with protecting the village. So every evening, every night, the men of the village are basically on watch. They're guarding the village. They're walking around the village at nighttime with their with flashlights and firearms. And so they've been having to come down to the city of Iquitos and purchase supplies, and they're running very low on supplies. So one of the things that we're doing is we're going to supply the village with food and medicine, as much as we can. But we're also bringing them some tactical gear. I don't want to say everything we're bringing. None of it is illegal, but it's, let's just say it's strategic for what's happening. We're not bringing firearms or anything like that. We're not allowed to do that, obviously. And I do want to mention that I wasn't able to fund this whole thing myself. It's actually substantial, the amount of money that it's costing to do this expedition. So I ended up talking with Pastor Darren from Conduit Church. And you guys know Darren. It was his church, Conduit, where you guys held your BlurryCon.
And he went to Peru with us.
And yeah. So Darren from Conduit Church, along with Jamie Brandenburg, who also went to Peru with us, who attends Conduit Church, and some of the other guys, a core group of guys at Conduit Church, jumped on board and wanted to help me fund this expedition. So I'm sure some of those guys are listening. So I want to thank those guys publicly for helping me fund this thing. All of the arrangements have been made, and they are instrumental in helping me accomplish the mission, and especially in terms of being able to charter the boat and supply this village with food and medicine and some of the other things that we, some of the strategic items that we purchased. So I think it's really cool that the whole ufological community, UFO Twitter and UFO social media, knows about what's been happening in Peru and they've been sort of just begging for somebody to go and do this investigation. I think it's really cool that it's a group of Christian guys that are getting the job done.
That's cool.
That's awesome.
And so that's really exciting. And again, so thanks to Darren, Pastor Darren from Conduit Church, Jamie Brandenburg, and the other guys that have stepped up to help me fund this operation. I'm co-funding it myself. And thanks to Doug Thornton for joining me on this, what could be a little bit of a dangerous expedition. We have no idea what we're going to encounter in the jungle. Hmm. Having spoken directly now with the villagers, they're divided in their minds. On one hand, they want to say, by the way, I should say right up before I talk about what the villagers are thinking, the story that came out in the press, as we discussed on your program last time, was that these villagers were being attacked by miners, river miners, mm-hmm. equipped with high-tech jetpacks and funded by the cartels. And the objective would be to try and drive the villagers off of their land so that the river miners can go in there and mine the river. This is ridiculous. I knew it was ridiculous when the media, the Peruvian media, was reporting it. And I confirmed with the village that that is absolutely not the case. Mm. The villagers have absolutely, they reject the notion that river miners are attacking their village or that this has anything to do with river miners. It does not. However, now this is where they're divided in their minds. However, they are open to the possibility, and I think this is a worst case scenario, and I really hope to God that this is not what's happening. They are open to the possibility that what they are confronting are organ harvesters. And there may be something to that, that these are organ harvesters, but what they don't understand, the villagers, what they don't understand is the high-tech aspect of what they're experiencing. Hmm. So whoever is assaulting, again, assault's probably too strong of a term here, whoever is making these incursions into their village are doing so with extremely advanced technology. Not jetpacks, but some other kind of technology that allows them to float through the jungle and ascend up into the sky. Now, keep in mind, we're talking about the jungle here. So whoever is maneuvering between the trees, the jungle is extremely dense. And not only is it dense, but we're talking about a situation that unfolds only at nighttime. Mm-hmm. So whoever's doing this, if it's human beings, and we're talking about some secret high-tech technology.
Yeah,
and it seems to be very nefarious if that's the case. And I would not rule out, if that is the case, if we are dealing with human beings, I would certainly not rule out organ harvesters, perhaps trying to harvest these young people for not only their organs, but they would use them in the sex trade first, and then they would harvest their organs after they've pretty much used them up in the sex trade. That's very dark, obviously. It's worst case scenario. I hope that's not what's happening. But because we don't know, that could be what's happening. Because we don't know what we may be confronting out there, you know, we've decided to bring security. And we have more, by the way. We have more security than what I mentioned. I don't want to give too many details for our safety. But know that we do have security, and we are taking the necessary precautions. The other, I said that they were divided in their minds. So that's a possibility. We may be dealing with organ harvesters in possession of advanced technology, which, by the way, I don't know if we discussed this on your show last time, which is actually a particular whistleblower who was a part of Dr. Stephen Greer's group recently this year in Washington. And I don't remember, correct? Just stop me if we've already discussed this. He had several whistleblowers, and he did this press conference in Washington, D.C., Dr. Greer did. Recently, this year, and he brought on some new whistleblowers. And one of the whistleblowers, there was a gentleman who was a U.S. Marine, who discussed a situation which had unfolded in, I want to say in Indonesia, during that the big hurricane that hit Indonesia some years ago. It was a huge humanitarian crisis, and they were in the country for humanitarian aid in an official capacity from the U.S. government. I don't remember the gentleman's name, but he gave testimony at this press conference that was really jaw-dropping. It was quite shocking, and what he divulged in his testimony. Did I tell you guys about this? Did we discuss this?
No. We haven't heard that.
So what he divulged in the testimony was that him and a group of Marines who were patrolling, and not patrolling, they were on a humanitarian mission. I think they were looking for people who might have been displaced in the hurricane, whatever they were doing. They were in the jungle, and they came upon this craft in a clearing in the jungle. There was this craft. It was a disc. I believe it was a large disc the size of a football field. I'm sorry, you're hearing. I got to turn off WhatsApp. I'm getting texts from San Antonio de Pinto Yaku here as I'm talking to you. These guys are texting me because obviously we're in the final stages of our preparations for this trip.
Text from the jungle.
By the way, I have an official invitation to go to the jungle by the Apu, the chief of the village. I just got sidetracked there. These messages that are coming in on WhatsApp from San Antonio de Pinto Yaku. Anyway, back to the story of the Marine. He's in the jungle with a platoon of guys, platoon of Marines. They encounter this craft that he says is like a disc about like the size of a football field. It's a really large craft. And he describes the craft, and it was making a low humming sound. It was hovering off the ground. They'd never seen anything like it. They were obviously surprised to encounter this advanced machinery out there in the jungle. And he gives a bunch of details, and I encourage everybody to go look this up. It was part of Dr. Greer's press conference they did this year in Washington, D.C. And as they're just observing this thing, suddenly a bunch of guys come out of the woods with automatic weapons. They were dressed in fatigues, so they were like paramilitary guys. They were armed to the teeth. In fact, I remember he said that they were armed better than the Marines. And they were yelling and screaming at the Marines in English and telling them that they had to leave immediately, leave the vicinity immediately. And they pulled up in trucks too, because he was describing the kind of trucks they had with body armor. These guys were really, really well equipped. Again, better than the Marines. And to make a long story short, and I don't remember why he was able to conclude the following, but he concluded, this Marine, that it appeared that whoever this was using this advanced technology, this disc, to transport what he thought narcotics. But also he walked away with the conclusion that they were using this disc for human trafficking, that they were harvesting people who had been displaced in the hurricane for human trafficking, which is obviously very distressing. Because it's distressing enough to think of human beings who are secret groups of human beings in possession of advanced, probably reverse engineered alien technology, but then even more distressing to learn that they may be using it for the most nefarious things imaginable, for human trafficking, narcotics, whatever, but human trafficking, which encompasses both the sex slave industry as well as the organ harvesting industry. Yeah. They go hand in hand. And so I say that in connection to this idea that the villagers in San Antonio de Pinto Yaku are wondering if they are also dealing with some sort of high-tech human trafficking operation, which I thought was very interesting, because I was sort of, I didn't mention this, I don't think, I don't, maybe I did, maybe I did mention this last time we talked, but I've sort of been wondering if that's what we're dealing with. And when they brought this up to me, I thought, oh boy, I really hope for their sakes that that's not what's happening. Now, I said that they were divided in their minds. So that's the 50% of what they think it is. The other 50%, they think it's inhuman. It's unhuman. It's a alien incursion is what they were saying originally, and they hold to that possibility. And the reason why they believe that it might not even be human is because of the description of the beings. And I talked about some of the footage that they were able, last time I was with you guys, I talked about some of the footage that they were able to capture, which when I slow it down, me and Doug slowed it down, blew it up, took a look at it, and I feel like there's a chance that I'm looking at what are called tall grays, or even more precisely, insectolins. So in other words, non-human, gray-like entities, alien gray-like entities that look to be hovering above this village in the trees. Okay, I don't know. I mean, we're looking at very pixelated, grainy images caught at nighttime on cameras, on cell phones. And so part of what I want to do when I go to this village, and I'm going to bring a picture of what insectolins are purported to look like, and I want to know, has anyone seen anything like this? So we have some very interesting questions to ask these people, questions which have not been posed to them thus far. So,
Tim, are you gonna shoot video? Are you gonna do it, video interviews and do what I would kind of. You're not an investigative reporter, but it sounds in some ways like you're, like I would hope you're doing sort of like a mini doc where you're recording and in this inquiry to try to get to the bottom of this. And I mean, I think you mentioned that the gentleman that's going with you has video equipment, is going to low profile stuff, is going to be shooting some video. I imagine a lot of the villagers probably don't want a camera in their face necessarily, but is that part of the plan here as well?
Yes, we are. We're going in with some GoPro camera and equipment. Now, GoPros are very, very advanced at this point. You could shoot a whole movie on GoPros. They shoot in 8K and everything like that now. So, but the reason why we're going in with GoPros is because A, they're versatile. B, we want to be under the radar in the country. So my plan, my strategy going forward here with this expedition was I wanted to make a lot of noise about the expedition before I go with the audience in the United States, my audience, your audience, and other people's audiences who've been talking to me. I want to make a lot of noise so that as many people know what I'm doing and when I'm doing it next week, by the way. And I want people to know that I'm there. I'm doing this investigation. Why? So that I can't just be quietly offed and dumped and my body dumped into the river.
Yeah.
The more noise I can make about it, the better in terms of my safety and the safety of my crew on this expedition. But when we're in the country, when we get into the jungle, I want to be as quiet as possible and as inconspicuous as possible while I'm actually heading up the river. That means low profile camera gear. You know, I don't want to be going in there with big cameras, and I want to be inconspicuous, sort of under the radar. So I'm making a lot of noise here in the United States with, you know, on podcasts and stuff. But when I get into the country, it's going to be much more low profile and sort of quietly going up this river. So, and again, that's for safety reasons. Not the least of which, one of my main concerns whenever I go into the jungle like this, this far up into the jungle, is it's not uncommon to get assaulted on these rivers, especially if you're in a slow boat.
Pirates,
yeah, basically river pirates. They just pull up next to you at nighttime, and they're masked, and they jump off onto your vessel, and they hold you at gunpoint and take everything you have, or worse. That's not uncommon. That's not uncommon, especially in this region. So,
Tim, when you get back, are we going to be able to get a full report?
We want
the scoop, Tim. We want the first scoop.
I'll have a lot of information when I get back, and we'll do a debrief on your podcast. And I don't know what I'm going to encounter. I have no idea. Maybe I'm going to encounter miners with jetpacks.
Who knows?
Which I'm telling you would be quite extraordinary. That would be a story in and of itself. But that's extremely unlikely. And by the way, I don't expect to film the phenomenon. It's cooled down since August. However, about a month ago, they had another incident, but this time it was with a craft. And they had an incident at nighttime in which a group of guys were patrolling the village, and they saw, I think it was on the other side of the river. It was in the vicinity of the village. They witnessed this craft, it sounds like a typical saucer type craft, descend, and it landed momentarily, and it had lights all around it. It was totally silent. It descended. It landed momentarily. They actually started firing their rifles and shotguns at it.
Wow.
And it lifted off into the air and flew away. So something is still going on in this village, but it's important to point out that the phenomenon has since spread to different parts of Iquitos, to different parts of the Department of Loreto. So that's like the state. If we think about it in terms of states, it's the province, let's say, of Loreto. And the city of Iquitos is the main city within that province. And so there's a lot of activity that was happening concurrent with what was unfolding in San Antonio de Pintuyacu. There was other things happening in that region of the jungle, that region of Peru, Loreto. But it has since, the phenomenon has since been spreading to other parts of the jungle, namely the province of San Martin. Now, I am very familiar with Loreto. I'm even more familiar with San Martin. I was just in San Martin, actually, when you guys came to Peru, before I went and met you up in in Cusco recently, in the end of this last June.
Yeah.
I was in San Martin. I was in the city of Tarapoto, in the province of San Martin, and specifically, I was visiting my property in the jungle. I have property in the jungle in San Martin. Interestingly enough, my property in San Martin is in the vicinity of a village called San Antonio, which I just remembered right now. Different San Antonio, different province than the one I'm going to here on this up the river and on this expedition here next week. But nevertheless, I have this property in San Martin in the jungle, and apparently now the phenomenon is happening out there in the jungle of San Martin. Wow. So it's spreading. Whatever is going on, whatever this bizarre phenomenon is now affecting more areas of the Peruvian Amazon.
We got the man for the job. We're sending Tim Albarino down there. He's got his crew. You get him on the boat. Look out, River Pirates, dude. I keep thinking about that movie Anaconda. Remember with Ice Cube and J Lo. Let's hope that doesn't happen to you. But
which character am I in this story?
J-Lo, obviously.
Jennifer Lopez, that's what I was going to say. Of course.
But I think this is smart. This is smart, Tim. Like,
we should do a blur phone. We'll have you call in from the jungle.
I will have a sat phone on me. I've got a satellite phone. I'm fully equipped.
We'll do an update.
I'm no stranger to these kind of expeditions.
Perfect.
You know,
we're going to make you call us, and we'll do an update.
I can.
All right.
I can call into the Blurry podcast from Blurry the line. Freaking jungle.
Blurry hotline, this is Nate.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get out there into the middle of the jungle there out there. And,
so wait to and recap.
These villagers are gonna be wearing blurry creatures shirts and hats.
they're the mess up ones. It's like when the Buffalo Bills, you know, lost Super Bowl. All the little kids in Peru got the Buffalo Bills Super Bowl champion shirts. Sorry, Bills fans. That was the 90s.
Yeah, it's just like the blur signal, and you send it, and you just project our logo into the sky like Batman, and then Tim knows where to go. We're going to find him.
I hear Blurry Creatures podcast is big in the Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
That's wonderful.
Supposedly.
It's good to know. It's good to know, Tim. So, wait, just to recap, next week, we want to, because part of this is making this public so that you have, you know.
Gives us cover,
yeah. It's covered, safety. So, next week, Tim, you are headed to the Amazon, to the jungle, to the village, which we've talked before is an 18-hour boat ride up the river to this village where that massive story that came out with the face peelers,
that's right. Yeah.
And of course, this supposed alien encounter that actually looks a lot like what we allegedly saw in Las Vegas, and, you know, take it for what it is, but that's where you're headed, and you've got security, you've got low-profile camera equipment, and you're going to get to the bottom of this mystery, and this is exciting. And you know, also a big shout out, you know, to the guys at Conduit. They've been so great to us. Yeah. And I know you shouted them out, but you know, we did our conference there. Darren, he went with us to Peru, but you know, Darren, Mo, and the whole team over there. If you made it out to BlurryCon this year, which feels like 5 years ago in February, but it was this year. That's the crew that's getting behind, behind Tim, and
that's right.
Some good folks over there. So
great group of guys. Just a phenomenal group of guys over there. And again, like I said earlier, how cool is it that it's a group of Christian guys that are getting this job done? And we're not, and just to reiterate, we're not just going in and conducting interviews. We are literally supplying this village with food and medicine, which they sorely need at this point in time. So,
yeah. You guys going to sing Onward Christian Soldiers?
Just like, no, I don't think we are.
You could, though. I mean, it's you know, we've got time. It's on everything's on the
table. I think
we're
going to be blasting some Metallica. Or some who was it? Welcome to the Jungle. Who was that? Was that Guns N' Roses or AC/DC? I don't know, AC/DC.
That was Guns N' Roses.
Yeah. Guns N' Roses. Yeah, I think Axl Rose, I think that's going to be our theme song on this trip. Actually,
oh, all right.
You know what? This seems a little cliche, Tim, but we'll go there. You know what?
It fits with the blurry creatures '80s theme, right?
Yeah, you could go with Jungle Boogie too if you want. I mean. There's a lot of options.
There's a lot of options. A
lot of options.
You know, this is really important. I need a theme song. So I think you guys need to come up.
You came to the
blurry,
right place.
I think the blurry audience needs to chime in and tell me what theme song is appropriate for this expedition.
We'll get them on it. Okay, so next week.
Yeah, the fans are going to kickstart. We're going to get you a jetpack from the fans.
Who need a jetpack?
With a phone.
I'm just
going to
borrow a jetpack from the miners.
And it has speakers built in.
Bring some of that gold back, too, while you're at it. Yeah.
And some of those cocoa leaves. We need the juice.
But so next week, Tim, you're off to the jungle. You're off to the jungle next week.
The expedition commences next week. I'll be there for, it's like a 10-day expedition, and I'll be back out of the jungle early November, back here to Montana, and I will do a debrief with you guys, let you know what happened.
All right, we might call you mid-episode one day,
and if I can, I'll make a phone call.
That'd be amazing.
I'll make a phone call from the river on the sat phone.
Yeah. Yep.
And let you know.
We'll just check in on you.
We'll record it.
I'll let you guys know if I have my face is still unpeeled.
Yeah, keep it intact, huh?
Yeah.
I'm going to try.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the goals, is to make sure nobody gets their face peeled on this expedition.
It's a low bar.
You know, I'm making light of it. We really don't know what we're going to encounter up there. You know, what I'm a little bit nervous about, honestly, is the aforementioned group of human beings in possession of high technology, using it for purposes of human trafficking. But also, let's say a level or two down from that, just cartel activity. It's a lot of cartel activity up there, A, and then B, a lot of malaria, a lot of dengue.
Yeah.
So, you know, people can be praying for us, our expedition, that we don't get malaria, we don't get dengue, and we don't have a confrontation with cartels, human traffickers, or face peelers.
Or pirates.
The face peeler thing is, you know, I don't really put a whole lot of, I don't really believe the face peeler mythology in the jungle. I think there is something, it is sort of like the, I would say that what we're looking at in terms of face peelers is something more akin to the cattle mutilations that we see happening in the United States, ongoing. And I would say that for some reason, you know, it's very interesting. For some reason, you don't see, I'm not even aware of any human mutilation cases in the United States. Lots of cattle mutilation cases. And those have to do, by the way, for sure, with, let's say, the alien presence. Those have to do with alien technology and whatever, probably the grays, whatever they're doing with the material that they harvest. But we don't really see any human mutilations. But in South America, what's very interesting from the ufological perspective is that you do in fact have cases of human mutilations that are identical in every way to the cattle mutilations, except we have human victims rather than cows. You have them. We've had them in Brazil, and I think we have evidence that we've had them in Peru.
Wow!
And specifically in this region of the jungle. So I make light of the face peeler
that's
thing.
Scary, yeah.
But in regard to the actual, you know, as it pertains to the actual mythology of the face peeler, this creature, you know, I don't believe that. I think if you know, what might be happening is human mutilation in the vein of cattle mutilation, which is very serious.
I appreciate Tim, because, you know, I think a lot of times people give you, they get, I don't know, people are weird out there, listen to podcasts. Sometimes they, you know, you speak matter of fact about some of these subjects, but you're actually taking a risk and going down there and confronting this stuff face to face. And I think it's a lot easier to sit on a podcast and throw your opinions out in the world. And it's one thing when the conviction is so heavy that you actually go down there and investigate it. And I think that's been, you know, that you can't convince everybody that you're serious about these topics and you've really researched them for a long time, but you're going down there, you're putting yourself out there.
You're taking care of the people there too.
Now, yeah.
It's not lost that you're going to, this is a humanitarian effort as well to resupply the village. So yeah, if you're listening to this, and you're of the inclination of praying, I know that Tim would appreciate
absolutely,
you know, prayers for his expedition and for protection. I know his family would appreciate that as well. And so,
yeah,
man, Godspeed, Tim. That's fantastic. I know you have one more update for us too, because since we've also, you know, since we did our face peeler episode, and we covered the Oversight Committee, the investigation into the reality of UAP, UFO, and what people are calling disclosure, you've also had some interesting things happen, and I want you to share briefly, just share like as much as you'd like to share about that, because I think it's a fascinating picture in what's happening in the halls of our government here in the United States. I know everybody listening isn't from the U.S., but this has been a big story in the U.S. as whistleblowers have come forward to testify to Congress about what's allegedly happening, what would be sort of these black project corners and spaces in the unelected spaces of government. And so we talked about this and had a recap when this was going on in real time, but some things have happened since, and I wanted you to get a chance to hear the audience because we know what's been happening. But I think it's a fascinating sort of unfolding, and as much as you'd like to share, I think it'd be a cool update for our audience.
Sure, and I'll be a little bit non-specific, but I will say that I was contacted by one of the members of the Congressional UAP Hearing Committee after they did the hearing with David Grush and the other whistleblowers. And this gentleman contacted me, this congressman contacted me, and we discussed various topics. And this individual, I hesitate to give his name, even though he's given me permission to do so. I hesitate to give his name just because I never want to create any kind of controversy around what this committee is attempting to do, which is really historic in that they are trying to pry the lid off of UFO disclosure. You know, they're up against tremendous force of secrecy that's been in operation for decades. Right. Mm-hmm. So, but this individual contacted me, this congressman, one of the congressmen on the committee, and wanted to just have a discussion with me. He happens to be a Christian. And so we had a very fruitful discussion and about, again, various topics related to the UAP UFO phenomenon. And I actually was able to meet with him later on in person. We smoked some cigars and had a really good time. And then later on, he organized a call with some other members of Congress who are also on the UAP committee. And I was able to brief these congressmen on some things. I can be specific about that. I talked about the nature of the entities that I think that we're dealing with in the majority of the crash retrieval cases. That is to say, the gray aliens and the abduction phenomenon. Now, when I was invited to do this presentation, this briefing, I contacted my friend Richard Dolan, who many of you may know. Richard Dolan is a UFO historian. I believe the best UFO historian. He's the premier UFO historian alive today. And Richard's a good friend of mine. And I asked Richard if he would accompany me on the call. It was a video call. And so Richard and I both put presentations together that we were able to present and to these congressmen. There's a handful of congressmen on the call, three or four. And I want to say that I am very encouraged by the core group of guys, congressmen and congresswomen, who are leading the charge for disclosure in the House of Representatives. There is a core group of individuals who have really been instrumental in that hearing unfolding. And of course, they've been all over the news. So Congressman Tim Burchett, Congressman Eric Burleson, and Congresswoman Ana Paulina Luna, and others who have been very instrumental. Almost unprecedented. There's one precedent for it in the past, but this hearing went further than the hearing that happened, I believe, back in the 1950s and regarding the UFO subject. But it really takes a lot of guts to not only be willing to put your reputation on the line as a congressperson, but also to confront, as I mentioned earlier, to confront these what I would describe, and I think rightly so, as dark forces behind the scenes that have been perpetrating the cover up of the UFO phenomenon, but even more so persecuting, or I should say even more grievously, persecuting those who have over the decades been blowing the whistle and attempting to shed light on what the government, of course, I use that term loosely. I refer to it as the dumb state. What the government, what the dumb state has known in regard to this phenomenon and has been doing. Mm-hmm. And obviously, David Grush, the shocking revelation, the headline that came out of that hearing is that there's a secret crash retrieval program that has been underway for decades in which alien craft has been recovered and to some extent reverse engineered. That's the headline. And alien bodies have also been recovered. That is the shocking headline of that UAP congressional hearing. And the forces behind the scenes, the deep state, the dumb state, that want to keep that a secret and that are opposing these congressmen are tremendously powerful. Tremendously powerful. So I want to publicly commend these individuals who are leading the charge in Congress. And I think everyone should be supporting these people, these congressmen and congresswomen who are attempting to, as I said, to crack the lid on disclosure here.
Yeah.
It's a long, arduous process, and the Pentagon has been playing a lot of games trying to hinder the work of these congressmen. But these men are men and women of integrity. I know that personally. They are honest, and they are men and women of faith.
That's encouraging to hear. It really is, Tim. Yeah.
And I want your audience to know that these are the individuals who are really pushing, who are really fighting behind the scenes for UFO disclosure, and who are the individuals instrumental in the congressional hearing on UAPs. And so again, these are people of very high integrity, and they're not doing it to be self-aggrandizing. Again, I can say that because I've interfaced with these guys. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very encouraged. And I offered whatever help however I can assist these guys and gals and in pursuing disclosure, whatever I can offer to them. You know, that's why I wanted to bring Richard Dolan to the table, by the way, was because Richard, his work is unimpeachable. He is a UFO historian, first-rate UFO historian, and these guys are getting a lot of disinfo coming their way. And the ufological community, the UFO community, is full of a lot of bad actors and individuals who have all kinds of alternative motives. And there's a lot of narcissistic individuals in there, who are just in it for their own glory. And these congressmen confirmed to me on the call that they've encountered some of these individuals. And I was so encouraged to find out that they were already being very wary of some of these actors within the UFO community. These guys are already, they've already got their antennas up for both misinformation, just bad information, bad research from individuals from the UFO community, but also they've got their antennas up for disinformation from the government. And so I just want to highlight the fact that having spoken to these guys, having briefed them on certain things and had a chance to hear from them and these congressmen, that this committee is in good hands.
Cool.
This committee is in good hands, and everybody should be supporting it. These guys are some of the best congressmen we have.
But Tim, big question, are they going to let you in the skiff or what? Are you getting in there?
I got nothing to say in the skiff. I say everything I know. Blurry Creatures Podcast. This is the skiff.
This is the skiff.
This
is the safe place. You can say whatever you want.
And from what I heard, by the way, just the other day, I think I heard that it looks like they may be getting Grush in a skiff. And for those who don't know, I forget the acronym for skiff off the top of my head, but it's an acronym. Basically, it's an acronym for a secure environment in which
sensitive compartmented information facility.
There it is. So in which sensitive information can be conveyed in an official capacity. And in this case, the Pentagon has to give permission for David Grush to get into the skiff. And I know that the last thing that I had heard from the congressman was that Grush's security clearances were expiring and that the Pentagon was, you know, dragging its feet and waiting for his security clearance to expire so that the congressman couldn't get him legally in a skiff because the security clearances would have expired. I don't know what has happened. I don't know if it's true that something has happened and they're able to, I'm not 100% sure. That's the rumor. I'm sure I'll find out in a couple of days, but support the UAP committee in the House and be assured that it is being led by men and women of high integrity. In many cases, the core group of them are believers, are Christians, and they are intent. They are determined to get to the bottom of this.
I love it.
Dude, Tim, big things, man. Big things happening. Big things about to happen.
It's crazy.
Love getting the update. And just want to remind folks that, you know, when this comes out, Tim will be on his way to the jungles of Peru to do the Tim Alberino thing, to go
straight Adventure into the Time storm. With Tim Alberino.
That's right. Straight into the storm. Going to be our eyes and ears on the ground there as he goes to unlock the mystery of what's happening there in these remote villages. And
By the way, I forgot to mention that the congressman who called me, he called me specifically because he had heard my conversation with you guys on the Blurry Creatures podcast, in which we discussed the UAP congressional hearing.
It's amazing. Dude, so you know what? You know what he tells me? He likes synth and he loves the 80s. And you know what he does? you know what else he likes, Nate?
The Bone Zone.
Well, that
he
that?
Was in it for the Bigfoot. That's what yeah. that was the.
I think he's in it for the Waterworld references. Honestly, I think that's come for Bigfoot, stay for the Waterworld references.
Exactly.
Look out for
that's
those.
Why I'm here. That's why I'm
those,
here.
Look out for those smokers on the rivers in Peru. Those 80s jet skis start rolling up. Man, you know what to do. Get out of there. You know.
No, it's crazy, man. It's crazy to be talking about these subjects and then you find out who's listening. It's mind-blowing. We're pretty humbled that anyone cares. I think we've got a fun thing going on here, the trifecta, the triforce. There's something fun here, something special. And Tim, you've come on our show a lot, and we appreciate you. Become a good friend, and we're going to Costa Rica soon. Don't forget that. Head on over to our website. You can see all the information about that. And Tim, you going to be at the next BlurryCon? People are asking about it.
If you invite me.
Come
that's
on.
A big if. You know what? It's a big if. We'll see. We'll see. Got to pray about that.
By the way, I'm also going to pray about that one. As you guys know, I'm also going to Guatemala right when I get back from Peru. I got 1 week. I got a 1 week buffer between this Peru expedition and another expedition to Guatemala, in which I'm going to be exploring some of the Mayan ruins. And I'm thinking about doing it's not for sure yet, but I'm thinking about doing a Guatemala expedition, a public expedition like we did in Peru this year.
All right.
So stand by for that, but I'm going to Guatemala for 10 days when I get back from Peru. So
Tim's just nonstop.
Well, you know, I don't willingly adopt this title, but people have been calling me the real Indiana Jones, and so I'm sitting here thinking, I better go out and do some freaking Indiana Jones stuff.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, I was thinking about, like, remember Carmen Sandiego back in the day?
Carmen Sandiego. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Tim Alberino.
Yeah.
Where in the... Dude, that was the show. You get the little like, siren thing and put it on the map. It's dominating.
That's right.
Well, Tim, hey, we'll be thinking about you, man. And we want you to come back.
I'm coming back because we got to publish this thing that we've been working on.
Yeah, we do. We got a lot of things to do.
That's right.
We got that coming out, and that's coming out pretty soon. And I, you know what? That'll probably be the subject of our conversation when I get back, because we're going to be getting pretty close to a release date for that product, for that that literary endeavor.
For all you guys out there that don't know, it's we're going to the beaches, books, and BlurryCon,
and Bigfoot.
That's right. All bees here in the Blurryverse.
I'm sure people are already thinking of other bees that they're throwing in there as well.
In the Bone Zone.
Well, Tim, thanks, brother.
All right. Hey, it's always fun, guys. Yeah, and I will keep you apprised.
All right. We're going to call you on
the
next
You're
going
to get a phone call from me. I'll be sitting there on the top of my riverboat smoking a cigar with my sat phone.
A cigar in one hand, Mapacho in the other. Just
cigar in one hand, machete in the other.
That's right, dude.
I hope you have like a machine gun in one hand somewhere in there.
Yeah, don't.
Can't carry guns. Actually, we in Peru as a foreigner, it's they have very very draconian gun laws. But I got guys with me who can. So,
dude, Tim, this is awesome, man. Hey, But honestly, be safe, man. We love you, dude. You need to be safe out there. Let us in. Hey, give us a shout, and we'll tell us what's going on.
I shall do that.
All right.
And when in doubt, send up the blurt signal. We'll be there.
Hey. Yeah, if I get into it, what does the blurt signal look like?
It's just our logo. Just shoot it in the air and everyone will know.
Okay. All right. So what happens if I do that? What will happen?
We'll send Bigfoot. Luke's been working on his Bigfoot vocals, and he's going to send the big guy in to save you.
We're gonna airdrop you some stuff. You know?
All right. These guys in this jungle are going to be thinking, who the heck is this idiot, and what is he doing in our village?
At least you'll be able to hear and understand what they're saying when they're talking about you. Just pretend like you don't know the language at first. Be like, who's this gringo over here?
No, as soon as I open my mouth, these people out in the jungle, they are totally perplexed because I sound like basically their dialect is equivalent to like you go in the deep south. It's like Louisiana, you know, that Cajun Louisiana.
They sound like Farmer Fran.
Yeah, that's like my jungle. That's my jungle accent. So as soon as I open my mouth, they're all just perplexed. They just stare at me for the first 5 minutes. But anyway, it's an advantage, I think.
Is this guy born here? All right.
All right, guys.
We'll make some memes.
See you on the other side of this expedition.
All right, man.